when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
The former president of Honduras, Juan Orlando Hernandez, is being extradited to the U.S. following his arrest last month on drug charges. He's accused of conspiring with cartels to take millions of dollars in bribes from known drug traffickers, like El Chapo. Even though rumors about his involvement in the drug trade have been swirling for years, Juan Orlando Hernandez, or JOH as he is popularly known, was arrested mere weeks after his presidency ended. Honduras currently has no charges against him, but now that a judge has approved his extradition, JOH will soon move from a prison cell in Honduras to a cell in the United States. Our producer, Sarah Quevedo, sat down with Deborah Bonello, the senior editor for Latin America for Vice World News, to talk about what happened and what this case can teach us about the war on drugs and corruption in Central America.
Hey, Deborah, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us.
Hey, Saida, thanks for having me.
So, yeah, let's talk about what recently happened in Honduras. I'd love if you could kind of bring us into the action a little bit.
So recently, the United States issued an extradition request for Juan Orlando Hernandez, who is the former president of Honduras, the Central American country.
Security forces were called in on Monday night to surround the wealthy neighborhood where the former president of Honduras lives. Less than 3 weeks ago, Juan Orlando Hernandez was in charge of the country. Now, the U.S. is calling for his arrest and extradition.
And the U.S. want to extradite him on drug trafficking charges. They're accusing him of essentially aiding and abetting violent cocaine trafficking organizations that transport cocaine through Honduras on its way to the United States and Mexico as well.
Investigators say President Hernandez received bribes amounting to $25,000 from Giovanni Fuentes Ramirez, an alleged drug trafficker currently on trial in a U.S. federal court.
This didn't come as a surprise to anyone who's been watching the news and especially the sort of organized crime panorama in Central America for the last few years, because we've seen a number of very prominent drug trafficking trials play out in the United States where prominent traffickers have essentially pointed the finger at Juan Orlando and accused him of taking bribes to let them do their business and, you know, keeping law enforcement off their backs and all that kind of stuff. Now, JOH has always denied being involved in the drug trade, of course, and has dismissed these allegations as the words of embittered, convicted drug traffickers.
What has the reaction been like within Honduras?
I mean, I think the rumors and gossip about his involvement in the drug trade have been circulating for years. I think the important thing to remember is JOH did very much lose legitimacy. He did two terms, and in his second term, there were lots of irregularities around the vote, and he lost a lot of popularity around that. The region in general, you know, Central America has been plagued by corruption for, you know, decades, and there's been a number of big scandals. So I don't think it came as a surprise to anyone in Honduras, and I think that there are also probably a lot of other people who were underneath JOH in that rotten political establishment who may be worrying whether they could be next. But of course, he was the highest profile to be made an example of. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, they couldn't have gone any higher than him.
Right, right. And the U.S. is requesting extradition. And I'm curious why you think that they had this sort of reaction. Like, what is the context of that particular relationship?
The U.S. has always had a very sort of cynical relationship with Honduras. You know, a lot of this played out during the Trump administration, during which all Trump was really concerned about was the issue of illegal immigration. And of course, you know, tens of thousands of undocumented migrants were getting to the U.S.-Mexico border from Honduras. And he recruited JOH as a partner to sort of stem this flow of people. And even though Honduras has at times had some of the highest homicide rates in all of Latin America, which is itself the most homicidal region in the world, JOH signed an agreement with the Trump administration deeming Honduras a safe third country where migrants who were coming from other parts of the region would be stopped and prevented from going further. So whilst JOH and the Trump administration were padding up to him, they were also, you know, indicting his brother for drug trafficking in New York, which I think is obviously acknowledgement. If the president's brother is involved in drug trafficking in a country that is a major transit hub for cocaine, that's going to have a huge implications for governance and security. So to be able to persuade JOH to sign up to being a safe third country, that the US would deem Honduras a safe third country when it was prosecuting and convicting JOH's brother is just, I mean, I think it's kind of anti-narcotics diplomacy at its best slash worst. It's like, he's a son of a bitch, but he's our son of a bitch sort of thing.
So maybe stepping back for a second, can you tell me a little bit about Juan Orlando Hernandez's presidency, right? So you mentioned that he served two terms. Like, when was he elected? And then what kind of president was he?
I mean, to give you a bit of context about Honduras, Honduras lies between Colombia, Peru, and Bolivia to the south, and the United States to the north. Now, Colombia, Peru, and Bolivia are the three major cocaine-producing countries in the world. And the U.S. is one of the largest cocaine consumers. At one point, the DEA estimated that some 80% of the cocaine that ended up in the US was transported through Honduras. So you have to understand that there is this constant flow of cocaine moving through the country. There were always going to be players in the country who were going to move it and corrupt the necessary channels that they needed to do that. So I just want to put that on the table first. So JOH took power in 2014. He's a very extraordinary president in some ways, you know, not particularly charismatic or handsome or tall. You know, he's kind of gray and slightly kind of, you know, unmemorable. And he inherited a country that's plagued by a lot of the problems that other Central American nations are plagued by, you know, violence, poverty, insecurity. And those problems are not easily fixed in his defense, but there are questions as to whether he ever made any sort of sincere efforts to improve the living conditions for ordinary Hondurans. And I think the message that a story around his drug trafficking activities sends to Hondurans is that when he should have been worrying about the well-being of his country, he was essentially on the take. And, you know, already from a very rich and powerful family in Honduras to boot.
You touched on this, that he's sort of our son of a bitch, if you will. Like, would you say that there was a sense that this was going to happen?
Well, the strange thing is that when JOH was head of the National Congress, before he became president, around the same time that he was doing million-dollar deals with Chapo in the jungle, allegedly, he backed the sort of reopening of an extradition agreement with the U.S. Now, why would you do that when you were doing million-dollar deals with Chapo Guzman, right? Like, I suppose he did that to sort of reduce suspicion. It could be that a lot of his actions and decisions were motivated by this arrogance that I think a lot of Central American leaders have, which is that they're going to be given impunity, you know, like there won't be any consequences for their actions because of the lack of, you know, we know that Central America's justice institutions are weak and accountability is low. So you'd kind of think, well, why are you allowing these people to get arrested and extradited if you know that they're going to shit talk you once you get to the US, right? Because these guys are going to go to the US and they're going to tell prosecutors the deals that they've done with you and the way that you've protected them. Do you see what I mean? It's like he was trying to play both sides, trying to keep the US happy and yet apparently doing all these, you know, dirty deals behind closed doors.
You're right. I mean, there's something that it doesn't quite add up. It's either incredibly stupid or incredibly arrogant, or maybe both. It's just hard to know which one it could be because it seems so obvious that if you extradite people who you are involved with, that they will absolutely point you out as being involved as well. Why not have them stuck in the courts in Honduras where no one in the US will give a shit? Like, it's very counterintuitive.
What was interesting, actually, was that there was speculation that if the indictment or the charges were made, that JOH would run and that he would go to, you know, Ortega's administration in Nicaragua, which is currently at, you know, loggerheads with the US, and that he would seek protection there. But JOH sort of gave himself up immediately and agreed to cooperate, which is also interesting. You know, you're like, well, maybe he has a really good defense somewhere up his sleeve.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I can imagine someone listening to this and like seeing this news and thinking like, wow, an ex-president, like that's a huge deal. My question for you is, like, is it a big deal? Like, how much is this actually going to change in terms of the landscape of drug trafficking across Central America and between Central America and the US?
I mean, look, it's a big deal because clearly they've had all this evidence and testimony against JOH for a long time. And he was a head of state, and they decided not to indict him when he was a head of state. But the fact that he was until literally 2 months ago, you know, that sends a message of like, you're not getting away with this, or you're not getting away with what we think you've done. I think that's a very strong message. And I think it's a strong message from the US to a region that is rife with corruption and suffocated by the drug trade and the money that it brings in. But, you know, Saida, and I hate to be the cynic here, but if you look at some of the other major cases, and like, of course, Chapo Guzman was not a head of state. He was perhaps the most powerful trafficker in the region. And I have had DEA agents, current and past, tell me that his arrest and sentencing has not affected the amount of drugs passing through the US-Mexico border. The Sinaloa cartel, it may be fractured, I'll give them that, but it remains one of the most powerful criminal organizations in the world. On the one hand, yes, I suppose it's a disincentive to some people who might be considering going into the drug trade, but there will always be someone to do that because the profits are so extraordinary. And then you have the JOHs who are kind of, you know, parasites and enablers. Governments and organized crime feed off each other. So I think that disincentive strategy is always going to be a huge part of these arrests and these cases, and it has a lot of value. But is it changing the situation on the ground? Sadly, I don't think it is. Think about it like a river. Like, the river is always going to flow because it's going somewhere. And the place it's going is where it's wanted. So as long as that water's flowing, there will be the people to shepherd it to its destination.
We'll be right back.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Do you want to just give like one or two examples of what exactly JOH is accused of doing?
So the charges against him in the Southern District of New York basically accuse him of smuggling more than 500 tons of cocaine or helping smuggle more than 500 tons of cocaine. One trafficker, whose name was Victor Hugo Diaz Morales, also known as El Rojo, basically said he paid Hernandez $40,000 in 2005 to buy protection from the Honduran military. So essentially Hernandez and his military were pretending to the gringos that they were doing all this these interdiction efforts, but they were telling the drug traffickers where they were going to be and what they were going to do so the drug traffickers could effectively avoid falling into their net, if you know what I mean.
Right.
You know, making interdiction efforts look like theater, essentially.
And my sense, too, from the way that you've sort of described the web of accomplices is that he wasn't working alone either, right? And I think this gets back to this other point that you made. Just bringing down JOH does not make the river stop flowing, because it seems like convenient for our narrative around the war on drugs that, like, you bring down an ex-president and surely this thing will be weakened, when it seems like you're pointing to the fact that, like, in fact, it's much larger than just this one very powerful man being arrested.
You know, Juan Orlando Hernandez, JOH, he was the president and his party was the National Party. And if you just look at the sort of web of people that he was surrounded by, who are sort of a combination of, you know, political elites and law enforcement officials who were working with drug traffickers. You know, you had the presidential spokesperson, Abel Diaz. He has been implicated. Hilda Hernandez, who is the social development minister, and the vice president of Congress, Gladys Aurora Lopez. They've been implicated in embezzlement networks and NGOs. You know, Porfirio Pepe Lobo, who's a former Honduran president, has also been accused of drug trafficking. His son, I believe, is in prison in the US for drug trafficking. Like, corruption is something that's very much, and you know, it's very much endemic. It's part of the system. And a lot of that ranges from drug trafficking to corruption and embezzlement and the misuse of public funds and what have you. But the point being that, you know, JOH was not acting in a vacuum. You know, he is sitting on the top of a castle that is filled with people who are on the take and people who are involved in some sort of criminal activity. I think that's important because narratives in the US and in Hollywood, like, we love these villains, right? And they are engaging. And of course, like, they make great headlines, but they're part of a system. They're part of an ecosystem, and they can't act alone, which I feel is also kind of how the drug trade works in general. You know, it doesn't exist on its own. It needs all these other actors, from drug users in the US and other parts of the world to powerful elites in their own countries, to help oil the machine that moves drugs through from one place to another. The other thing I'd say about the drug war, and I hate to be, I mean, I know this is like, but I'll say it. The drug traffickers don't want to go out of business, but the drug war is also, you know, it's why the DEA was invented. And the drug war for politicians, it's the easiest way to make them look as though they're cracking down on the big bad drug traffickers who are, you know, bringing fentanyl and cocaine to our children and our communities in the US. And so it's a very convenient narrative that's popular with voters. I know these are age-old arguments, right, for the drug war, but it seems to me that there's plenty of evidence to show history repeating itself and, like, that things aren't getting any better.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no, I think it's a really excellent point. And I think it helps put sort of some of what we're talking about here into perspective, right? Because I think it doesn't seem like the thing that we've done for the last several decades, no matter how powerful the person is that we sweep into the net, that doesn't seem like it's going to change anything at all.
I also think that JOH, I don't think he's innocent, but I think he's also like, he's very important symbolically. I think he did aid and abet, and that is not what heads of state should do. But yeah, he's like a convenient scapegoat. I'm like, I get it, but like it kind of diverts attention away from other important questions that we were just talking about, you know? So if we can focus on this kind of Miami Vice sort of narcos, like that whole side of the business, which is dynamic and interesting, and like a lot of those narratives are very easy, I think, for Americans to relate to or to understand. But I think it does kind of detract attention away from these much more nuanced but equally important issues and challenges that simply aren't being adequately tackled by government. I think it's easier to go after the quote-unquote bad guys than it is to be like, well, why do Americans want so much cocaine?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode was produced by Sarah Quevedo. Vice News Reports is produced by Sophie Casis, Jen Kinney, and Adriana Tapia. Our senior producers are Ashley Cleek, Adiza Egan, Sam Greenspan, and Stephanie Karaoke. Our associate producers are Steph Brown, Sam Egan, and Adriana Rodriguez. Sound design and music composition by Steve Bone, Pran Bandy, Natasha Jacobs, and Kyle Murdoch. Our executive producer and the VP of Vice Audio is Kate Osborne. Janet Lee is senior production manager for Vice Audio. Fact-checking by Catherine Barner. Our theme music is by Steve Bone. I'm Ariel Zimros. Before we end this episode, I want to take a moment to say congrats to El Hilo, Vice's Spanish language news podcast, which is made in collaboration with Radio Ambulante. They just made their 100th episode, which is a huge milestone. You can find El Hilo and their special 100th episode wherever you get your podcasts. I know podcast hosts say this all the time, and so do I, but I really mean it. It would be great if you took the time to rate and review Vice News Reports on Apple Podcasts, because it really does help other people find the show. Vice News Reports drops every Thursday, so be sure to check back in next week.